Welcome to Shri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Shri and Kira.
Well, namaste, beloved angels. Welcome to Shri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action. I am Kira Ram.
And I am Shri Ram Ka, and we're having fun knowing you are here now.
You know, we really are. We are starting. This is a powerful, powerful month, the month of September. Consciousness is exploding, and that is the word, my loves, exploding. And we really encourage you, if you have not yet connected with our September predictions and revelations at YouTube, go to YouTube. Our channel is Official Shri and Kira, and check it out. Really pay attention, and also take a moment and watch this month's powerful Archangelic Ensoulment. Just a powerful way to, I'm going to use the word surf, because it's really going to be like surfing the waves of energy during this exploding month.
Wow. Exploding month.
Yeah. Huh?
I think I'm sitting here with all kinds of amazing imagery floating through my brain.
Yes, you are. I can see it, baby. Hold on to that thought.
Turn off the inner vision there, dear. Here we are in early September, and we're just approaching the last of the third supermoons of this year.
We're already in the energy of it. We're waxing right now.
We are waxing. And we're wax on.
I knew you were going to go there.
Well, I had to. You know, there's certain little clips such as choose the right pill that have been part of the vernacular of our society. And rightly so. So. It's beautiful when things make a positive impression on consciousness.
Absolutely.
And that's a bit of what we'll be exploring today with our guest today. But before we get to that, I just want to say congratulations to everyone for making it through August.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm clapping for humanity, because we really minimized. I mean, there was a lot of things that really have concerned us. I mean, the rise of ISIS, the beheadings, the other things that we're watching around the world globally, the whole incident in Ferguson. But the reality is, on a whole, congratulations, humanity.
Yeah. It's one of the things that I want to remind everybody is we do live in a world of polarity. And when
we need a reminder.
You need a reminder. Look in the mirror.
Okay, I get it.
And so often, because the world news is so manipulated that we forget that there's another side to every coin. And I mean every coin.
Well, that's absolutely true.
And when we live with that kind of Hegelian energy of bridging polarities, of seeking a new synthesis of the inner and the outer worlds, the inner and the outer expressions, we start to discover that we are actually surfing a wave of creation as opposed to reacting to the artifacts of creation. You need an open mind.
Okay. Well, I love that, because, you know, that's what we're going to, this entire month, my angels, this starts our September series, which we're very excited about, all month long, incredible guests. I mean, just incredible guests, culminating with Bill Burns at the end of the month. And all this month, we are expanding consciousness through global evolution and discussing this, because as we mentioned at the top of the show, this is a powerful month for the explosion of consciousness. This is a month where all the rules are gone. This is about really letting that energy wave come through you. And today we're specifically going to initiate this month as we are in that waxing energy of that final supermoon. Oh my goodness. Because today we're going to really explore how to survive these shifting paradigms in global evolution. Because the reality is, everything that was is changing, and nobody can debate that. Everything that is still being written. And so we're in the middle of we keep using this surfing as the way to describe this.
Well, it is. And you know, I think for the last several years, people have been talking about the paradigm shift, the energy approaching 2012 was a huge conversation.
Well, and, you know, I have to admit, living here in Guatemala, being extremely connected with mine elders, the ones who are not seeking fame, the ones who don't speak English, the ones who are truly held and protected within the community, I'm very grateful that all the information they gave us to disseminate was 100% accurate.
Indeed. And the thing that I want to remind each and every one of us is when you see it, it's mm-hmm. already done. When when you are living the creation flow, you get to witness the unfolding now.
Yeah.
And sometimes we dance back and forth due to the mechanical structures of our brains, mm-hmm. which you know, basically create a wonderful filing system for the past.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't do us a whole lot of good for allowing creation to be uninhibited.
Well, it's how we bring it together, isn't it?
It is. And so I offer that as a little segue as we're about to introduce our guest today, because one of the things that is going on in our world is we're seeing a repetitive cycle, that is a regression into dogma, a regression into reactive, coarser level of consciousness going on in certain countries and through certain activities in the world.
I think it's going on through humanity. Sure. And, I don't think it's restricted to countries at all.
It's a strata, I would say, within consciousness.
Sure.
And simultaneously, there is this awakening consciousness that is embracing a love-based paradigm, an inclusive or oneness-based paradigm. And it is amazing to me to look out in the world and see such radical anger and polarity simultaneously going on with people who are just radiating such light and love from their eyes.
Well, this is the beauty of this time, right? Because everything, and this is what we keep discussing, especially here in September, and you know, we're culminating, if you've been tracking all the things we've been talking about for the past several months, and if not, again, go to official Shri and Kira at YouTube and watch all the videos and listen to all the past shows, my goodness. But one of the things, Shri, that I think is most important to pay attention to right now is that in this month, as we are gazing at the setting the stage for the rest, the culmination of 2014, right? Mm-hmm. What we're doing this month is we're going to see that all levels of consciousness are exploding. And so I love that you're talking about, you know, what's sitting side by side. In September, we're going to see that with even greater viscosity. You know, I want to use that word.
Ooh.
I do. It's viscous. You know, we're going to really be seeing that. And I want to remind all of you out there, hey, we're live. So, you know, I know we weren't live last week, just in case you were wondering. So we are live right now. If you want to give us a buzz and get in the queue, remember, you can give us a call at 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. And get in the queue for a mini soul reading to join the discussion, ask a question, whatever your heart calls you to do.
And we invite you to make that call.
Absolutely.
And we also invite you to pay attention because we have a wonderful guest with us.
We do.
Our guest today is Carl Kalaman, who is an eminent scholar, who has written a variety of books. And more importantly, he was really upfront and present during the whole 2012 I'm looking for a singular
experience.
I wanted a singular world, a singular word that described it.
We all had so much amazing information. And
absolutely.
I had to admit, you and I kind of had a home court advantage living here in Guatemala.
Well, we had our own authenticity. And the only thing I will say is I respect and appreciated very much Carl's point of view on the Mayan calendar. And he has a website, Kalaman.com. He's working on a powerful trilogy of books right now. The first part of that is released. It's called The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. Mm. Ooh, there's one. Woohoo. There's one. Now, so before I tell you what the book's about, why don't we ask him?
I think that's the better way to go.
So, Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sri. Really happy to be on it. Thank you.
Thank you. We're delighted to have you with us, and it's a pleasure to connect.
And hello, Kira. Yes.
Hi.
Carl, we're glad you're here, and as I'm looking at what your present focus is, the sense I make out of this is we're moving out of calendars and instead beginning to apprehend the flow of evolution. Is that correct?
Well, I think that's the only thing we could do. In other words, if I were to make some kind of a calendrical analysis of what's going on, it would become very complicated, and it wouldn't be useful for people. I think really what's useful for people at this point in time is really to create an intention to themselves, whether they will you know, as I talk about the global mind, which is really the mind of the planet that we are downloading. And as we do, we become parts of waves of evolution, which really is what the Mayan calendar have been describing. Mm-hmm. But we, at this moment in time, we have this kind of a choice, I would say, between different such waves. And that's what makes it very complicated. People thought that, you know, there would be a one time and then there would be a one era and then it would change into another era. That's really not what I believe is happening. Instead, the significant thing that happened with this shift is that all the nine waves of creation, I could hear you talk about waves of creation before I came on, all the nine waves of that are creating this reality here are now accessible. We can all download them. And as you were talking about right before this, some people will choose to download the ninth wave, which is the wave that gives us access to unity consciousness, whereas other people will choose to download a dualistic waves of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that is very much a part of what is shaping the world today and much of the drama that we've been seeing. And this situation of a choice with these waves running in parallel, and we constantly have the choice to choose either one of them, that I don't see coming to end anytime soon. It's a choice we will be living with, and it's important that people realize that there is a choice to be made, and well, also no, there's, that this. There- Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I just
one of our favorite buzzwords.
I want to underscore what you just said. You know, there are choices, and oftentimes people are not conscious of the opportunities to choose,
or believe that they don't have a
choice, or they just cannot perceptually see it.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about these nine levels, nine waves of choices, it's my hunch that the people only apprehend this as they are already awakening. And until they come to some form of critical incident, they're not going to see it. They're not going to know they are empowered to choose. What would you say to that?
Well, I can, you know, I can't put myself in that position myself. So I wouldn't be able to say anything except for what I could then present as an intellectual understanding based on the Mayan calendar that, yes, there is now, since 2011, there is a new wave available. But that takes some work for anybody to go into that particular study and see that now there is a new possibility, even though they, you know, the people that are fully born into this new wave, they're only 3 years of age. And but all of us, nonetheless, we can all tune into this, and we can choose to do it. And so I guess people will have to come from their heart and say, I want to be part of this. I want to create an earth that is based on unity consciousness that transcends all the kind of conflicts we've had in the past.
So then the price of admission is I have to lose my mind.
Yeah.
That's
fairly close.
Very well said.
Yeah, I mean, we agree. One of the things that is so powerful right now, and I love what you're sharing, is that all people have the opportunity. Yet one of the things that we witness, and I'm sure you've witnessed in your studies and as you've moved forward with this material that you've been presenting for quite a while now, is that there is a rigidness among many that is holding them to a cycle that is preventing a greater evolutionary consciousness to come forward.
Yes. Yes.
And so through that rigidness, what happens is that feels very mind-centric to me, and that the only way you can melt a mind-centric orientation is to open the heart. And sadly, what we're seeing right now, or I should say cyclically, because we see this cyclically all the time, humanity seems to learn through events and painful events. And the reality is that with all the nine waves fully available, we truly are not locked into the way that we used to learn. How do you feel about that?
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I like what you're bringing up, the loosing our minds. You know, this book, the first in the trilogy that I've written, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, its main focus is to describe how the evolution of the human mind has created the civilization that we have now. Mm-hmm. And yet, I don't personally, you know, it may sound like I think the mind is a good thing. I don't. it's just something you have to deal with.
Yes.
And I'm actually right now back from India. I spent a whole month in India, where they have a completely different way of looking at the mind than in the Western world. In the Western world, we think the mind is a good thing. You know, somebody has a brilliant mind and can think out all these kind of technical solutions and stuff like that. Whereas in India, the mind is what prevents spiritual enlightenment, more or less.
Yes.
And I can see it both ways. The mind is actually something that compartmentalizes, then separates, it's at least the mind that has been creating our civilization for 5,000 years. It's the mind of duality. It is a mind creating separation and compartmentalizing. And that's the mind that some people still are choosing to live in. And
yes.
It has consequences. It does block. It's great for technological development. We would have nothing of what we have in that regard unless we had a mind, but it does block spiritual evolution or it's
well now there's another key phrase, spiritual evolution. So I have two things to ask you. One is, in your research and your discussions, are you making room for a concept of soul? That's one question. The other is, evolution is not an argument. We cannot debate it. We can never approach it from the level of the mind.
What's the last thing you were saying?
Well, what I'm saying is all the brilliant mental accomplishments, all of the intelligent accomplishments of our world do not have space for true evolution. They have space for incremental enhancement. Now, I'm not talking about technology, I'm talking about consciousness. That the mind itself is a self-preserving habit.
Well, it has to be. Because the mind is born of density. And so the mind is the way that we navigate density. But when we limit our view to this one world concept, then the mind takes on greater power than it's instructed to have.
Through crisis, usually,
correct,
there's some form of paradigm shift.
Yeah. Well, the first question is, I have space for the soul. The soul is actually older than the mind in the way I look upon it. You know, there are different, the Mayan nine waves, different ones, they have different durations, and they carry different phenomena. And I would say that the wave that started 100,000 years ago, that's the one that introduced the soul on the human level on this planet. And only 5,000 years ago, and that's what we call the long count, 5,125 years ago, then the mind was introduced. And so they two separate concepts. Only as humans had really integrated the soul was the time for them to download a mind.
So let me ask you this. In your research and your understanding and what you've done, why do you think that happened? What shifted 5,000 years ago that shifted us from a soul recognition to a mind paradigm?
Well, it seems that there was an activation of the the four directions of the earth, 5,000. That's really what the Mayan inscription talking about these matters is saying. So it's like the four directions, and the east and the west and the north and the south, and as we all know, there is a reality we're living in of a western and eastern civilization, and these are have their origin actually in a polarity that exists on the level of the inner core of the earth, and the point to realize is that our brains are similarly and in parallel with these two civilizations, divided into a left brain half and a right brain half, and so the two brain halves are mirrors or expressions of the separation into the western and the eastern hemispheres on our planet. So,
yes.
What this is telling us is that the mind, which really is, you know, it's something that separates our left and the right brain half. When we download the mind, we actually get a separation in of our brain into two compartments, and actually more than that, but two compartments. And as you can hear, if there is a parallelism between these brain halves and the hemispheres of the planet, then any such change in our mind will have to originate also in the separation of the planet based on the four directions. And so that's really the closest I come in terms of the, I developed this quite in detail in my book, and it tells us that the four directions were actually activated as an invisible metaphysical grid on our planet 5,125 years ago. And as that happened, the people who lived then, their brains became separated into brain halves, thinking different ways, and et cetera, et cetera. And from that followed all the continuation.
This sounds a little bit...
I want to add one more thing to this.
Please continue.
This explains why the ancient peoples, like the Egyptians 5,000 years ago, started to build monuments that were so closely aligned with the four directions. To them, this was really working with the emergence of the global mind. And by doing these kind of things, they would actually be, it would help them download the mind, which was the big novelty of the time, that they thought that this is great, this is interesting, civilization is emerging, we are changing. And they did that through their connections to the four directions, and this is quite close to how the Maya would describe that in their ancient inscriptions.
Very good. So I'll tell you what, I have a couple of thoughts that I want to bounce
around. You want
around.
To dive into, I think we should take a break, because we've got a lot to share.
But before we jump into more about the history that may be the underpinning of the way we view our world today and the underpinning of our future opportunities, we need to take a little station break. So we're going to be right back after these messages.
Welcome to the Self-Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Vesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process. And then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember. Allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful Ascended Mastery program of the Violet Flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go, and then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriandKira.com. That's SriandKira.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. We're moving forward, and our guest today is Carl Kalaman. You can learn more about him at Kalaman.com, and he is a recognized scholar and researcher in the field of the Mayan calendar and history, and is directing his attention toward the evolution of consciousness and mind. Mm-hmm. And these topics, while they may seem a little abstract at first glance,
oh, that's only a glance,
are actually providing each and every one of us with the conversation that we need to be an empowered chooser.
Well, you know, absolutely. This is, you know, there's such a fallacy worldwide right now that 2012 came and went, and all these topics went away.
Sort of like 9/11.
Exactly. Well, no.
I'm sorry. I said the wrong one. It was the calendar.
The millennium. Yeah. Okay. Strike that.
So
the key is that these issues are actually more relevant, more important than they have ever been. You know, the Mayan elders that we have been blessed to know for many, many years now, and that we are truly blessed to live among, have said to us more and more, you know, that the time that people were talking about at 2012, which of course was heavily misinterpreted then, is coming, but it's still many years ahead of us, and that, well, maybe not that many, but it's years ahead of us, and that
in terms of the shift that people were anticipating,
but in terms of the lessons and the harvesting and the understanding and the comprehension, this is our golden moment. You know, if you want to put the term golden age on anything, it's the golden moment of humanity to finally understand what's happening from the heart, unified with the mind, and to move forward.
Well, and the context which we walk with is that all the doors are now open.
Absolutely. As Carl was mentioning earlier, you know, all the nine waves are accessible.
And we all karma is paid, all debts are paid. We are in a time where, if not now, when are you going to choose?
Well, our co-creative capacities are peaking, and they're peaking every day. Each day, the co-creative spirit of the humans is becoming greater and greater and greater. And you can see that in the manifestations around us. There is this explosion of manifest power, but yet many forget it's neutral. You know, consciousness is neutral.
As is creation, which is a reflection of consciousness and intent.
Absolutely.
So we're bouncing around on a number of subjects. Carl, earlier you were talking a little bit about the Egyptians. And that to me is a subject that I've always found intriguing, because there's so many theories out there about the purpose and function of the pyramids. Everything from the sacred geometry to Orion's belt and the ley lines of the earth. And the one thing that we've glossed over a little bit so far in our conversation is, how were they made? How does this tie in to mankind's evolution or the intervention of otherworldly consciousness?
I think there are two different things there. I mean, how were they made? I'm not really addressing that. My feeling is that what happened 5,125 years ago, the beginning of so-called long count in the Maya, we do know that from that point and onwards, people start to build pyramids. And so I find it hard to just deny that there is a link between the beginning of that wave in the Mayan calendar and the beginning of the building of pyramids. My feeling, and what I'm describing and what I'm saying is that now, if people at the same time, 5,000 years ago, in Mongolia, in Peru, and in Egypt start to build pyramids, then there must be something happening on a global scale that mm-hmm. prompts them to do these manifestations. And my feeling is, as I mentioned before, not only a feeling, but what I'm trying to demonstrate is that it must have been a new global mind that was downloaded. And that the global mind is really like all the waves of the Mayan calendar are expressions of divine creation processes. Mm-hmm. And once you get hit by one of the divine creation process like that, or hit by, once you assimilate it, you really want to do exactly what you think the divine wants you to do. And so if the mind, if the divine allows you to download a mind, all you want to do is to, let's make the best possible expression of this new mind, because it's divine. And so they built pyramids. And how they did it, I don't know. I just feel that it was so compelling a calling that they received by this metaphysical wave that for the first time then became downloadable. And not only the Egyptians felt it, but people in many other places at that particular time suddenly started to build pyramids.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you're speaking to is this expression of a state of consciousness without discussing maybe the material piece of it, and that's fine. And this expression, the one thing I want to mention for our listeners is that when a quote-unquote higher state of mind enters,
it feels like a unified
person. Yeah, it's self-fulfilling, meaning because it is a more divine state, there is no question that we want it. You know, because it is that self-fulfilling sense of expansion.
Right. But here we had globally this unified field of energy. And, you know, having just recently been in Myanmar and over in India and all throughout Asia, this, you know, globally, we, you know, if you connect the dots.
Well, one of the things I'll ask you, while you were in India, did you do a little research into Vastu?
Not really. I was there at a specific process at something called the Oneness University in southern India. I know, I have superficial knowledge about Vastu. But before you go further into the Vastu, which I think is it's an interesting, fascinating topic, I do want to say that I think we are doing the same thing as the Egyptians were doing. I mean, I'm sure most of the listeners and of course you two guys and myself, we are expressing divine callings. And, It's just that we don't build pyramids, but we get to be called to do other things. You guys were called to move to Guatemala. I don't even have to ask you about that. I'm sure you were. And the mind, this global mind, it has a divine character. I mean, it mm-hmm. has good sides and bad sides, but it certainly is behind the way the world has been created. And it's compelling. It's also joyful to follow whatever the divine mind compels us to do, because
there's another one we need to put a little bold print.
It's like, put your highlighter on that, because it is joyful, yet so many people are terrified of it because it is the leap into the unknown. It demands that moment of complete surrender into the unknown and the joy of the exploration, the dance of the discovery.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and for so many people, part of their emotional evolution is to move from a pain-based reality, a reality of shortfalls and suffering,
which is addictive,
has its own addictive quality, to an abundance-based reality filled with joy and opportunity,
and to realize you can become addicted to that as well.
Well, it's a different kind of addiction.
We won't talk about transcendence of it all, but the reality is that I want to get back to, Carl, what you were mentioning earlier is about this unified stream of presence that somehow magically, if we want to use that word for a moment, affected all of humanity at essentially the same time.
Yeah. Right.
And this was without what we would consider to be technological communication. Yet today, just today, I was reading an article that I just adore, and I'm going to explore a lot more tomorrow in our community newsletter, where an experiment took place in India where they sent telepathic thought waves to a person across the globe and scientifically documented for the first time ever the power of exact telepathic receptivity. And so it begs the question of, how did this unified field of presence gather around the world? How did people initiate building these things? You know, no matter where you went in the world, and I'm sure you've been to as many of these sacred sites as Sri and I have, the similarities, the time frames, the origins,
the vibrational felt experience, which is why I mentioned the Vastu is they created the science out of the rectangular shapes and the sequential numerology of the shapes, and yet the vibrational frequency is very similar to being in a Mayan pyramid or an Egyptian pyramid.
Well, and based on what Carl mentioned earlier, Vastu is also very much about four directions and the honoring, in their case, the honoring of the gods in each direction and the energies that they come forward to create a sacred container. All of this is overlaying.
It is indeed. And one of the things that's also overlaying is we have a caller standing by.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All so right.
We'd like to honor our callers. And so we have a friend of the show, Brian from Michigan, on line three. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Namaste, Brian.
Welcome. Thank you. How are you guys today? I am here with a comment. And so today, my teacher in eighth grade once told me, she said, Brian, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. She was saying that in reference because I wasn't doing my homework. And I said, well, then why are you giving me so much homework? I'm getting A's on the test. You know, and I just, it struck my mind, you know, when you guys were talking. So that's the first comment I have for you today. The second one is in regard to some lucid dreaming that's been going on in my life. And I have this experience that's, you know, it's a little bit subnormal, where, in essence, I was guided to other planets, and, in fact, it seemed as though I was in communication with ETs in this experience, which is a new one for me, and they were actually doing open-heart surgery on me, and they gave me a second heart.
Brian?
And it was on
Brian, sorry to interrupt you. I don't know if all of our listeners are having the same bad connection that we're getting, but I got the gist of what you're sharing.
We got it, and I see the rest of it. You're just really staticky breaking up. However, I want you to hear, I got it. I got the dream. I got what's going on about the second heart. I got what's going on about the contact and the what's happening for you. I love that you called in today. I love that we're talking about this today, because what we're doing today is talking about what? The evolution of our consciousness. Here we are in September in the explosion of consciousness. And Brian, what's happening for you, and I know that you already know this, so you're probably just going to chuckle when I share it with you, but what's happening for you right now is you are consciously connected to the vibrational frequency that is increasing in your own life. And it's coming to you in the form of lucid dreaming and experiences that offer you the opportunity to understand this through diagrams, pictograms, experiences of our realm. And so absolutely you have anchored a second heart. And I'd also like to kind of tie that into the high heart. You know, one of the things that we're blessed with is, of course, our physical heart and the heart chakra energy. But between the heart chakra and between the throat chakra exists the high heart, exists that thymus area, that area of grand spiritual awakening. And so the only thing I wanted to say to you right now is congratulations and keep a journal. You might want to keep a journal, because this is the way that you're receiving your guidance right now. And the more that you keep a journal, the more that you interact with this, I think the more that you will trust yourself and the greater evolution in front of you. And really, Sri, I'm just sitting here saying congratulations.
Thanks for bringing that up, Brian. We wish you well.
Absolutely.
And for all of our listeners, I want to just offer something, and this ties back into the whole evolution of consciousness and mind, if we want to use that word.
We can,
because
it brings permission.
Well, I have a sidetrack. I'll explore
it
in a minute.
I'm watching it.
However, each and every one of us is an individuated particle of this wave.
Indeed.
And as light is understood as both a particle and a wave, it's kind of fun to think of ourselves in the same paradigm. That is that we can hold space and hold pictures and thoughts and impressions as if they were particles, as if they were real forms, mm-hmm. or we can dissolve our need to have boundaries and ride the flow of whatever is happening and simply observe and simply be witness. Now, the reason I bring that up is, how do we evolve if we're both fixed and fluid? And the one of the ways that I want to offer as an answer to my own question is through our dreams. One of the ways is through our experiences, and one of the ways is through our accidents.
Well, I love that, Sri. And Carl, when you were down here in Guatemala, and certainly in your research, I'm sure that one of the things you've come across is that the Mayan are very visceral about how we are dreaming our life and how we are collectively dreaming this experience. Have you looked at that as an aspect of the nine waves?
Yes, I think so. I mean, certainly, yes, it plays such a big role in Mayan tradition and all the ancient traditions and all the indigenous peoples, mm-hmm. I believe, they really take dream messages very, very seriously. And I think we should. But I should, you know, to clarify a little bit, I should say that to me, mind and consciousness is more or less opposites. Not fully, maybe, but mind tends to compartmentalize consciousness. And dreams is something that comes to us when our mind is not working. It takes a break during the night when we get to sleep. Falling asleep means deactivating our mind or deactivating our connection to the global mind. And mm-hmm. so what happens then is that the mind is no longer active, and then you get, you might say, consciousness in a non-separated form. All the things are being connected in the dream world that would be separated by the mind. And, you know, one of the things that I have noticed so much is that, you know, one of the most creative times in my daily rhythm is when I wake up, because you know I'm still coming from the dream world, you might say, where things are not being separated, and so I've made all these connections in the night of otherwise separated things, and then when you're waking up, you're basically retrieving the mind, or you're retrieving the connection to the mind, and the mind starts to make sense of it of your experiences in some kind of a logical sense, and that's to me, and I know for too many other people as well, this wake up time is a very creative point in time when you still have the new knowledge from the dreams, and then you only when the mind comes in you're able to formulate it and to make sense of it in a sense. So we go through a daily cycle where the mind comes in and the mind goes out, and or where we download the mind and then we decouple the mind and so forth, and that's what creates our life's experience.
Well, you're reminding me a little bit of the Matrix, which had some fun symbols in it, and it's like we go to sleep and then he wakes up and he says, now I know Kung Fu, is that it's been downloaded. The thing, some authors talk about the big mind and the small mind or the individuated mind. One of the things that fascinates me is how we are, I guess, collaborating to stay individuated. That is, that the structures of our outer world are dependent upon individuated consciousness, and that as we move toward oneness consciousness, it means everything must shift. And I think that's a fundamental dialectic that is going to birth a lot of tension, and maybe that's exactly what's happening in our world now, is the tension of between individuation and universality is expressing through all of this reactivity.
Well, on a very densified level, right, on just a very practical level, look at the effect of globalization on humanity, on society. The effect of globalization has been dramatic. And in a way, it's this tiny microcosm of the greater universal reunification energy.
And yeah. And as people become more aware of each other,
right,
it naturally starts, at least has the potential to dissolve the boundaries of individuation.
Yet at the same time, people need to confront their own terror because the world has gotten smaller.
Yeah.
What used to
yeah.
feel far away now feels very close. What used to feel foreign now can feel almost threatening. And so we're at that precipice where we have the choices. This is back to where we started today when we first started chatting here with Carl, is that we're at the precipice of our choices, and our choices matter more than they ever have. Yet, how many people are still not awake to the availability of the fact that they have the choice? That's a powerful moment to look at.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I still point out regarding individuation is that in this time when oneness is becoming a possibility for the first time, I would say in human history, I think it's important not to confuse that with sameness, and I think also that creation is designed in such a way that will never get to be the same. And
yeah.
I think we should be very, very happy about that, because, you know, a possible world where everyone else was exactly the same like you are.
Right. No, that's a wonderful discernment, that oneness does not mean sameness, and oneness does not mean conformity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always like to think of those beautiful mirrored disco balls hanging that are reflecting light, individual rays of light, but they come from one source. Anyway, I love that. And I have this question in my mind that's really a little off topic, but the way I work with my mind is I include everything that's off topic.
Well, then go for it. All right.
And Carl, you know, when you traveled and looked at the pyramids of the Maya here and then went down to Peru, I presume, and looked at the...
No, I have not been in Peru. I've never been to South America. I've been to Honduras and Guatemala and Mexico. Yeah. No.
Okay. Then my question is not 100% relevant, but I'll bring it up anyway just to bring this thought to closure.
I'll go for it, Trey.
Yeah.
We've spent plenty of time hiking in Tikal and being part of that, reconnecting energetically with the huge civilization that was in Central America. Then when we got to the Inca civilization in Peru, one of the things I noticed was that the quality of the monuments was quite different.
It was a stunning contrast.
And in particular in Cusco and what's it called? Sacsayhuaymo.
I always called it Sexy Woman. That's all I remember.
Sacsayhuaymo.
People know which one you mean.
Anyway, there's some wonderful ruins there where the stones are cut in shapes, and they're not uniform. They're all uniquely cut. And they're cut so precisely that you cannot slip a matchbook cover in the cracks.
And he tried.
I tried. And so the reason I bring that up is it reflects a different technology.
Yeah.
Yes, it must have done. Or a completely different relationship to the material world somehow.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well
said. That's very well said. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
And this has always been something that's kind of tickled my intelligence a little bit, because it's one thing to stack rocks and make a pyramid and experience the energetic of that, because there is a tangible energetic from pyramid shapes. It's another thing to be able to move massive blocks of granite over many kilometers, and yet it's quite another to have precise fit for these heavy stones.
Mm-hmm. And so
it really stimulates my imagination and opens me up to all kinds of possible interventions. And I'm not claiming anything other than I enjoy theories around how this happened.
Yeah.
and you know, bringing us, because it's amazing how quickly these shows go. So bringing us kind of into a culmination about this paradigm shift that's happening right now in the evolution on the planet. Where does that bring us right now? If people were to talk to you right now, Carl, and say, and you're writing about this in your trilogy, where are we now? What has all this brought us to?
Oh, it's a tremendous amount of simultaneous processes going on. And it has to do with the fact that all the nine waves shifted simultaneously. And this is exactly what the Torto-Quero monument is saying, which is the only ancient Maya monument that is talking about this particular shift that we now went through. I think the world is changing to the Eastern Hemisphere. Power is shifting over to the Eastern Hemisphere. That's a significant thing that is happening. And at the same time, that means shifting over to the right brain half. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, that leads to a lot of phenomena that I personally don't like too much myself. But you know, the divine is not asking me how to make it.
It's not asking for your approval, huh?
No, it's
but you know, I don't want to steal your thunder. I just want to interject one thing. I'm sure you're familiar with the work of Joseph Campbell, and he chronicalizes the difference between the materialistic, worldview of the Western civilizations and this earth-based, you know, the goddess view of the East.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, you do have your parallel between left brain and right brain. However, what's the bridge? How are we creating the bridge now?
Yeah. You know, over time, you know, it plays such an importance on this ninth wave that was activated in 2011, which is a wave that provides a mind, you might say, without duality. It doesn't have this kind of yin-yang polarity as all our past history has had. Mm-hmm. And in the long run, this is what people will choose, I think, and I would also like to say will have to choose for the world to have a good outcome. It is a new possibility, and it always brings joy to find your way into this non-dualistic thinking, non-judgmental thinking, non-judgmental way of relating to the divine. Mm-hmm. It's our mind that has blocked our understanding of the unity relationship with the divine. It's our mind, and that new possibility is there. That's why people are as you're saying, they're waking up in many places in the world and sense new possibilities. At the same time, these other waves are operating, and some people are choosing to you might say stay in lower waves with lower frequencies, and I just hope that people wake up to the possibility of oneness as soon as possible.
I love that thought.
You know, and having raised a teenager, I know they don't always wake up when you want them to.
But yet they're all in their perfect time.
And yet each has their own timing, like every seed from every plant. And so I do want to thank you for that contribution and remind us all that trust is an essential quality of the ascended art, that the mind is the servant of the heart and a useful servant as long as the heart pays attention.
And wouldn't it be wonderful if the great pole shift that we're all talking about was actually the shift within our own heart and our own mind from the left to the right and the discovery of unity?
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Carl Kalaman, thank you so much for giving us your time today. You're welcome.
Pleasure.
It's been
a
treat.
Love your work.
And for once again, for our listeners, it's kalaman.com. You can learn more. Of course, Google is our friend when we research. You can find all kinds of things and enjoy. And for all of our listeners today, as we're coming to a close, I want to remind you that We are in a dance. We're in a flow.
We are. And we are. And, you know, we are dancing and dancing through this month of September, the explosion of consciousness, kicking it off this week, as we did with Carl Kalaman, our special guest. And next week, Sri, we're going to dive even further into it and say, well, can politics evolve as well? And our special guest next week is a former Light Party presidential candidate, David Raphael. And we have quite a bit of exploring to do on a political front as well. This is going to be a powerful month. It already is a powerful month. And remember, angels, September 9th, we are 48 hours away. If you're catching us live and if you're catching us in the archive, you're already feeling it. Supermoon is here.
Be clear on your intentions, because your intentions will overcome the speed bumps of life.
And they will create your choices, my angels. And as the one gift I hope the three of us were able to bring forward for you today, you do have a choice. Your life is a choice, and consciousness is ever abundant.
And until
beloved
we
angels, we love you.
We do. And until we have the joy of being with you again, may you know that all is truly well.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.